This is the Sunday evening sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
One of the challenges we face as Christians is standing for the truth. And the history of Christianity is, in part, the story of how the church has upheld the truth. The truth of God's word has been repeatedly attacked. The church stands for the truth. The truth is clarified. And the church then moves on, advancing with the truth. And it is, in one sense, it's understandable for the attacks that are brought against the church to come from the outside. We know the world and our flesh and the devil are always hostile to God and to Christ and to the Bible and to Christians. What is surprising is when the attacks come from within the church. And in fact, most of the attacks have come historically from within the church. Attacks upon the person of Christ, either his humanity or his deity. Attacks upon the triune, the Trinity God. Attacks upon salvation, upon the doctrine of justification. And even attacks upon the whole of Scripture, upon the Bible itself. It's interesting because well-meaning individuals think they are advancing the cause of Christ, but then they are found to be departing from the faith. And how is this determined? Say, well, it's certainly not what is acceptable or unacceptable to us personally. All teaching is really compared, as we've mentioned before, all teaching is to be compared with Scripture. And if it agrees with Scripture, then it is sound doctrine. And if it disagrees with Scripture, then it is false doctrine. The Bible is always our standard of truth. And that's why we use the description sola scriptura, or Scripture alone. That means Scripture alone is our authority. And when we examine what we believe, we look at Scripture alone. And it's not Scripture plus our experience. It's Scripture alone. It's not Scripture plus other forms and other authorities. It's Scripture alone. And the church has always been standing for the truth, and it has always upheld Scripture. And it is the duty of each one of us to do so. You are to be careful with the things that you hear. You are to guard your own spiritual life. And there are many things that are said, from a Christian perspective. And we are to examine those many things according to what God teaches in His Word. And it means that we must be on guard. You say, well, does that make us a critical kind of people, or negative? Are we as Christians negative and down upon anything and everything that arises? And the answer to that is no, but we must be discerning. You could call it being negative or whatever, but you have to discern. You can't have a standard of truth and adhere to that standard of truth without being careful to make sure that the things that you're hearing are in keeping with that truth. And that's why it's so important. And I think the difficulty is to do that in love, and to do that in faithfulness to God, and to do that without becoming bitter and angry and mean-spirited people. It's easy to strike down everything and anything that comes along simply because it comes along. But I think it's important for Christians to be discerning and to think very carefully about the issues of life and the issues related to Scripture. That's why I want us to go to this passage where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he is giving his final message to them. And because of revelation to him and the leading of the Spirit of God in his life, he knows that he will not see them again. So in one sense, this is a very sad passage of Scripture, but at the same time, it's a triumphant passage of Scripture as well. And as you look at this passage, you see the Apostle Paul is both affirming the ministry of the gospel of Christ and also warning to be careful. And you find really both of those parts here. And I think the apostle's words are very appropriate for us today because some of the challenges that we face in our world today relate to the gospel message. It's very easy today for the gospel message to go forth without Christ. And there's a great deal of emphasis upon we as Christians being incarnational. And that's sort of the word that is used. The incarnation refers to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taking upon human flesh. That is the incarnation. Christ taking on human flesh and becoming perfect God, perfect man, yet without sin. And that is the incarnation. And we as Christians cannot be incarnational. We can be Christians in the world, and we can be stewards of Jesus Christ in the world. We can be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, but we can't be incarnational. And the idea of being incarnational is you just go and love people as Christ loved and minister to people as Christ ministered. And that, in fact, is the gospel message. But that is not the gospel message. And you can also have the gospel message that really is not only without without Christ, but you can also have it being without grace or being with works. It's always very appealing to the human heart to have a salvation that is based upon something that we do. We always think that God will somehow be pleased with the things we do, not the things that Christ has done. And so it's easy to say, well, there are things that can be done, things that you can do in order to see the working of Christ and the working of salvation come to its completion. That's why it's interesting to look at this passage of Scripture. We as Christians are indeed to be compassionate, but not at the expense of truth. We are to be compassionate. We're called to be compassionate. But we as Christians are also called to preach the gospel of Christ. And it's really interesting when the Apostle Paul completes his ministry and he's standing, these are the final words, he stands to these elders in Ephesus and to say, what is he going to say to them? What is he going to talk about that's this most important? And is he going to say to them, well, you need to go and be incarnational? And I don't find that message included in his words. Or does he say you need to go and establish justice in the world? And I don't see those words. Do I see him saying we must be compassionate? Yeah, very clearly I see him saying we must be compassionate. But the focus is on the message of the gospel. And as Christians, we must be faithful to the message of the gospel. And the as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we go forth with a message. And I would like for everyone to love me as a person, but I would like for them to love the gospel message more so than loving me. I'm not the issue. The issue is the gospel message. It's a message that goes forth that is offensive to the natural heart of man, but it is a powerful message by the grace of God. And God is still using his message to accomplish his purposes in our world. So let me read this passage of Scripture. And if you look at the passage in verses 18 all the way down to verse 27, he speaks about declaring the truth. And then there's a warning that is given in his charge, and he ends by, in verses 28 and following, by talking about defending the truth. But look at what's on the heart of the Apostle Paul as his ministry draws to a close. And as he goes, he said he knows that he's going and he's going to be imprisoned because the Lord has told him so. And you know, you would think that it would be a wonderful thing for the Apostle Paul to end his life in revival and awakening, this a great movement of God. Because truly the ministry of the gospel has gone forth in amazing ways, and in the years that would follow, it really, in a spiritual realm, it conquers the Roman Empire. And there are many people today of political views that look at what happened in the first three centuries as the real destruction of humanism and the destruction of the state caused by Christianity. You want to know why people are opposed to Christianity? If they're thinking historically, they look and they say, Christianity is the problem. Christianity is what completely undermined the state. Now the state needs to rise again and be strong, and Christianity needs to be shoved aside. Christianity destroyed the state, and that's what caused all the chaos of the Middle Ages and the chaos that's taking place in time. And it is the fault of Christianity. And people can have that view, but one of the things that is beyond dispute is that Christianity conquered the Roman Empire spiritually, not with arms, but with truth. And the Apostle Paul was part of that ministry, and yet he ends his ministry, humanly speaking, on the downside. He's thrown in prison, and ultimately he loses his life. But here's what he has to say about the ministry. And looking at Acts chapter 20 and verses 17 and following. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, and his message is to the end of the chapter, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Now, you might think at this point, tribulations and chains await me, and the Spirit of God is leading him to go to Jerusalem. You might think that the Apostle Paul says, you know, Jonah's trip to Tarsus doesn't sound so bad right now. Maybe I need to go in the other direction. If chains and imprisonment await me in Jerusalem, that's the last place I want to go. You know, some people have said if I knew the place where I was going to die, I'd never go there. You know, it sort of makes sense if somebody said that. And somebody would probably take you there and you'd be in trouble anyway. But if I knew the place where I was going to die, I wouldn't go there. And the Apostle Paul says the Spirit of God is saying to him, in Jerusalem, chains and imprisonment await you. It's not a happy thought. The Apostle Paul is familiar, as we'll see, with the struggles of the ministry, but that is not a happy thought. The Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains, verse 23, and tribulations await me. And then notice this statement, and this is the verse I want us to focus on, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Now's where his conversation changes a little bit, and he has called them not only to tell them about himself, but also to warn them. And this is what he says. He's expressing his concern for the church, not just for the Ephesian elders, but for the church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years it did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these things have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he has said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, and they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. What is on his heart? And I would say what is on his heart is the gospel message. And further, that he would not only complete the gospel message, but the gospel message would be guarded and would be protected. And he commends them. It's very interesting in verse 32. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. He commends them to the word of God and commends them to the God who accomplishes his purposes in their hearts and lives through the word of God. But you see his heart in this whole passage, and you see his heart for the truth and his heart for the gospel message. Again, notice the words in verse 24, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. None of what things move him? Well, the Spirit telling him that he is going to face chains and tribulations. Those things move me. If somebody told me, well, what awaits you is chains and tribulation, I'd say, well, that's a fearful prospect. And since it's the Holy Spirit giving this word to the Apostle Paul, it is astounding. And he knows what awaits him, and he knows that what God is saying to him is true. But it's not that his concern is not for the chains and the tribulation. He fears those things as much as you do, as much as I would. No one embraces trouble, and no one embraces chains, and no one embraces tribulations. And the Apostle Paul is no different. He's made out of the same stuff that we're made of. But what moves him is finishing the race with joy, finishing his course. And it's sort of an odd expression. It says, you know, here's what's in front of you, chains and tribulation. I'm not going to explain, the Lord says to him, I'm not going to tell you what chains and what imprisonment. It's just, I'm telling you, chains and imprisonment. That's not of my concern. My concern is that I finish the course with joy, to finish the course of this ministry with joy. And the joy doesn't really fit in with the tribulation and the chains. And he's not saying that tribulations and chains are joyful. But he says, I'm not counting my life as dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy. You know, the picture of the Apostle Paul, when he looks at life, as he looks at it, he says, it's like this race that is set before me. And I'm running from here to the goal. And my purpose in running this race is to be faithful to the Lord. Faithful in my life, faithful in my ministry, and faithful to the truth. And I want to make sure that I'm running right in the middle of this pathway. I want to be faithful to Him. And he said, well, the Spirit says, well, there's going to be change and there's going to be tribulation. He said, I'm not moved by that. And one of the reasons he could say that, and we'll see this in just a moment, but one of the ways he could say that is because he'd seen plenty of chains and imprisonment. And he'd seen a great deal of persecution. And he saw the Lord's faithfulness to him and all of those things. So when those things were spoken to him, in one sense, he says, that's not the greatest factor. The greatest factor is being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and the proclamation of the gospel message. None of these things move me. And when he says the word, I do not count, the word that's used for do means to do it thoroughly. So he says, I've looked at counting my life. I've looked, and what's interesting about that expression is the word that is used for count is the word logos. I'm still not sure exactly what to think about that. It's sort of startling to me, but I do not count. It's like he's saying that my word, I look at my life and the word of my life, the word, I don't word my life, it's literally what it says. Looking at the whole of my life and very carefully looking at this whole of my life, and I say, as I look at it and as I look at the structure, I do this thoroughly, every single syllable of the whole thing, I'm looking at my life, and I don't, that's not what I'm interested in pursuing and what I'm interested in protecting. He says that at the very end. He says, you know, I haven't coveted anyone's silver, gold, or apparel. I'm not about me. And the people, when he said that, said, well, we know that. We know what kind of ministry you had among us. We remember. And you came proclaiming a message. We really didn't want to hear the message. You proclaimed this message that we didn't want to hear, and yet we heard the message, and we received the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we observed you, and we watched. And we saw your ministry, and we saw your life, and we saw the way in which you conducted yourself. But the Apostle Paul is saying, my great concern is that I run the race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. If you look at the Apostle Paul's ministry, it is a difficult ministry. Let me give you just a couple of passages. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when the Apostle Paul talks about his ministry, he does so here in chapter 6, and then we'll look at 11 in just a moment. But he's talking about the new covenant ministry. And he's talking about what the new covenant ministry is, and he's talking to people who have received from this ministry, but he's just reminding them, what is this ministry? And so he talks about the ministry is the ministers being transformed by the grace of God and having this treasure in their own flesh and suffering and going through afflictions and difficulties that the greatness may be seen of God. But he talks about his ministry in chapter 6 in verses 1 through 10. He says, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God. And then he talks about the things that they've gone through. All those are the things that are in. Now he talks about the things that have gone through. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. He's gone through all those things. And then he speaks of these as statements, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always making, as yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You know, I always look at this passage and I think, I wonder if you were putting up an ad to, you know, encourage people to be a part of the gospel ministry if you use these words, you know, and say, this is what the gospel ministry looks like. We'd like for you to become a part of this ministry. I think you look at this and say, that's amazing. That's not really something that people would say, well, you know, that's the life for me. But that's the life the Apostle Paul engaged in with reference to the ministry. And he goes into greater detail when you look at chapter 11 and verses 16 and following. And here he says, I again say, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as were foolishly to the confidence of boasting. He's trying to affirm the fact that he is who he is. He's an apostle and should be received as such. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it, if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes you from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. So he's talking about the people who have come there and what they have done, and you've received them and they're boasting and all the things they've done. He says, well, let me say some things. To our shame, I say, we were too weak for that, but in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, in prison more frequently, in details, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor Artus, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus. Damascus with a garrison desiring to apprehend me. I was let down in a basket to the wall, through a window in the wall, and escaped from his hands. He's talking about the ministry. And again, you look at this, you say, that's a great deal of suffering and a great deal of affliction. And the Apostle Paul looks at all of that. It's in the context of all that. He says, it's not my life that is what I'm accounting dear to myself. That's not what's important. And the fact that I'm going for further affliction and for chains and imprisonment, those things don't move me. What moves me is that I finish my course with joy, and that I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why he calls these individuals and he says, I want you to be on guard. Be on guard with reference to this gospel ministry. You need to protect the truth. And what is the gospel ministry? What is the message that we received? Well, he says the ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus, which he did indeed receive from the Lord Jesus, this gospel message, which is the good news. And the good news comes in the context of our sinfulness and our inability. The good news comes when we're miserable. And it's the good news of Jesus Christ and the good news that he comes and he rescues us. He saves us. The work of the cross was a rescue mission. It was a deliverance mission in which Jesus Christ came and took our sins upon himself, suffered and died in our place in order that we might receive the full forgiveness of our sins. That the wrath of God, his justice, satisfied in Christ on our behalf. All we like sheep went astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what Christ was doing. And it is this message of deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul goes and proclaims. And we are to proclaim Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's not a message. We can look at our world today and say, what's the message that people want to hear? Well, it's not that. But it's never been that message that people want to hear. Why do we proclaim a message that no one wants to hear? And the answer is because it is the Holy Spirit who saves people. It is the Holy Spirit who works in people's hearts. And his method is always the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And his method for strengthening you in your spiritual life is always through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel never goes forth apart from Christ. And we can think, well, I'll go and make the gospel go forth through me. The gospel never goes through incarnationally through you. It never goes forth that way. You can do wonderful things for people. You can be helpful to people. And that's a great thing to do. Go and be helpful to people. But that is not the gospel message. That's just being a Christian and being the loving person that you should be. That's a wonderful thing to do. And sometimes it's the context in which you say, you know, here, I've provided this for you, but I also want to tell you something that is even better than this. I want to tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because all the things that we do are to lead to the gospel proclamation. That's the message that changes hearts. And it doesn't change hearts because we speak it. It doesn't change hearts because the message is a powerful message. The message is a foolish message. But the reason why it changes people's lives is because the Holy Spirit uses that truth to save the lost. And that's why we have to proclaim the gospel message. And the Apostle Paul says, be on guard. You should be very careful and be guarding this message, guarding this truth, because I finished this course with joy, and it is very important for all of us to finish our course with joy. It doesn't mean that every single one of us is an evangelist. But it means every single one of us can at least be praying for evangelists. Every single one of us may have opportunity to speak to someone that may be in trouble and needs help. And you have the opportunity to speak the things of Christ. Don't be afraid. You're speaking a message. You say, well, I know they don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. I say, well, don't be afraid. We don't speak a message that people want to hear. We speak to a message that people need to hear. And we also speak a message that God uses to open the hearts of people. It's a powerful message because of God. And that's why when Jesus Christ was with his disciples, he says, stay here in Jerusalem, because don't go anywhere until you have the Holy Spirit. Because you go out proclaiming Christ, they could go out and say, we've seen Jesus Christ, we've seen him glorified, and the people are going to look at them and it will be meaningless. Here are these disciples who have seen a resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from a terrible crucifixion. And they've seen him, and you think that's all that is necessary for them to go forth with great energy and with great boldness and say, listen, I can tell you that I have seen Jesus Christ. You crucified him. I have seen him. He lives, and salvation is through him. And you could go forth with the energy and the excitement of all of the apostles seeing that great truth. And it would fall on deaf ears, and not a single person would be saved. Because the Lord says to his disciples, wait until the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who will make you bold. And it's the Holy Spirit who will send you in the face of affliction to go forth and proclaim the gospel message. And it's always astounding that the gospel message went forth not into a neutral world, but it went forth into a world where the Christian message was persecuted, sometimes with hostility, but always unacceptable, always persecuted. And in the Roman Empire, it was a message that was not well received because it conflicted with the authority and the supremacy of the Roman emperor. You can believe whatever you want as long as you would bend the knee and bow the knee to the emperor, which Christians could not do. So it went forth in the context of this is a message that we're preaching that is contrary to the whole of this empire. And yet this contrary message is a message that God used to save and God used to send Christianity forth. And it's a great story. It's a great triumph of in the face of persecution, in the face of difficulties. And you can look at our world and say, well, we're going through difficulties in our world and in our nation. And I say, indeed, we are going through difficulties in our world and in our country. And no one really knows what a day may bring. And we don't. And we look at the uncertainty of the times. And we say, well, I don't like living in uncertain times. And I say, well, I don't like living in uncertain times either. But this one thing I know, that God is still accomplishing his purposes. And he's still accomplishing his purposes through the gospel message. And in these uncertain times, we have a certain message, and a message that never fails. And as long as we are here, and until Jesus Christ returns, I know that God is accomplishing his purposes in the world. So that's why I say, you can be bold. You can be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go forth in your strength, go forth in his strength. But our challenge is to do what the Apostle Paul is and to say the same things and say, but none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's the challenge. We don't rewrite the gospel, and we don't change the gospel, and we don't change the emphasis of the gospel. The gospel message is the good news of Jesus Christ who saves us. Let us be faithful to Christ. One of the great encouragements is, I think, to my heart, and I think to the chapel as well, is going through Colossians, which is all about Christ. You say, well, all the Bible's about Christ. I say, well, it is. But Colossians is especially about Jesus Christ because the Apostle Paul says, you know, I'm not there, but what you need is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he never backs away from that message. And neither should we. And as we look at the coming days and the uncertainty of life and all the things that are taking place, let us be thankful that God is accomplishing his purposes by his power through his truth. And that never changes. And let us be bold in prayer before the throne of grace, saying, dear God, help us. And dear God, accomplish your purposes in changing our hearts in this new covenant ministry, and then through us proclaiming the gospel message. And open hearts and lives to hear the truth, and we pray that many will be brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us be bold. And let us be faithful in representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, that's the most important thing. Your circumstances are circumstances today. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one day, when we stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to say, that was the most important thing. We will know by experience what the Word tells us in truth. And may God help us to understand and to press forward in our lives based upon what the Word of God tells us now. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, which is so sufficient in our lives. We're thankful for the grace that saves us. And we're thankful for your riches, God's riches at Christ's expense, the grace. We're thankful, Lord God, that you have favor upon us, and we're thankful for the salvation that we have received in Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for the way that you have transformed our lives and pray that you will do so in an even greater way. But Lord, we pray that you will help us to have the same heart that the Apostle Paul had in going forth into his world, looking at the circumstances and say the circumstances are difficult, but the joy of the gospel remains. Help us to be joyful with the message of the gospel of Christ. Help us to be faithful. We pray that you will accomplish your purposes in us and through us, that you should receive the glory both now and forever. We're thankful for your faithfulness. We're thankful for your faithfulness to the truth. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit and for his ministry in our lives and through our lives, and we're ministering in the gospel message. We're thankful for your power. We're thankful for your resource that never fails. And we're thankful that you are ever faithful in accomplishing your purposes. Thank you for the salvation you have granted to us. Give that same salvation to many others by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.